As I mentioned earlier, I'll start trying to answer some questions. I'm going to go to the oldest questions that I have, dating back to June, although it's from what's being signed here as an unknown friend. And the topic is Guru Tattva. Some references or in a perspective of Rithvic philosophy, or that is, doesn't the references which the devotee cites, two references from Srila Prabhupada, support the arguments of Rithvicvadis. Okay, anyway, let me just read the question and then the quotes, and then share some thoughts with you on what's being discussed. Maharaj, how would these quotes of Prabhupada be understood? Seems to suggest that anyone can be near and dear to Prabhupada as in Rithvic connection, as Prabhupada is eternal Shiksha Guru for all who accept him and follow what he said, chant 16 rounds and 4 regs and preach. And his first quote is, Prabhupada says in the original Macmillan Gita, although it's in every Gita as far as I can tell, chapter 4, verse 42, at the end of the purport, quote, that a bona fide spiritual master is in the disciplic succession from time immemorial. I understand that all acharyas are in the disciplic succession from time eternal, and also that present gurus in ISKCON are not in the disciplic succession from time eternal, because just 45 years ago they were performing all kinds of abominable activities. Therefore, my question is, what's the position of ISKCON gurus in the Guru Parampara? In the last two paragraphs of Shisha Upanishad, Srila Prabhupada makes it clear. He says, and then another quote. Should I read this quote? Anyway, I guess I will, just for sake of reference. The Lord states that as soon as one reaches him by devotional service, which is the one and only way to approach the personality of Godhead, one attains complete freedom from the bondage of birth and death. In other words, the path of salvation from material clutches fully depends on the principles of knowledge and detachment. The pseudo-religionists have neither knowledge nor detachment from material affairs, for most of them want to live in the golden shackles of material bondage under the shadow of altruistic and philanthropic activities and in the guise of religious principles. By a false display of religious sentiments, they present a show of devotional service while indulging in all sorts of immoral activities. In this way, they pass as spiritual masters and devotees of God. Such violators of religious principles have no respect for the authoritative acharyas, the holy teachers, and the strict disciplic succession. To mislead the people in general, they themselves become so-called acharyas, but don't even follow the principles of the acharyas. These rogues are the most dangerous elements in human society because there's no religious government. They escape punishment by the law of the state. They cannot, however, escape the law of the Supreme, who is clearly declared in the Bhagavad Gita 16th chapter, that envious demons in the garb of religious propagandists shall be thrown into the darkest regions of hell. Shisha Upanishad confirms that these pseudo-religionists are heading towards the most obnoxious place in the universe after the completion of their spiritual matter. Master business, which they conduct simply for sense gratification. It was interesting to, well, there's two interesting things here. One is the lack of contextual relevance of this last quote to the entire question. And the other, which I find extremely interesting, is the statement of Srila Prabhupada that the bona fide spiritual master is in the disciplic succession from time eternal. It's something that I'd like to come back to later on and dwell on. But first of all, let me just discuss the whole question itself. First of all, the introductory question is that these quotes suggest that anyone can be near and dear to Prabhupada as in a Rithvic connection. While the Rithvics say that anyone can be near and dear to Srila Prabhupada, that is not a false statement of the Rithvics. And it's not just they who say that, but there are GBC resolutions to that effect. It's the philosophy of the Krishna consciousness movement. Anyone can be near and dear to Srila Prabhupada because Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya. He is the Shiksha Guru for those who follow him. And he does set the standard of spiritual master, devotional achievement by his personal example and also by his instructions. So the argument is not with this part of Ritvik's statement, but rather Ritvik's statement, which is false, is that Srila Prabhupada can be a devotee's Diksha Guru and only connection to the Guru Parampara, that he is a connection, is not a subject of argument. That he is the connection, and one through Diksha, unless Srila Prabhupada actually chose to give Diksha to his follower. That is what's wrong. So it just seems that the question sets up a mistaken premise at most, and perhaps a false one. And I don't want to make a value judgment, but the second quote from Shish Upanishad is so much non-contextual and so irrelevant, it seems to imply and make some kind of connection that because ISKCON gurus had indulged in non-Vaishnava behavior prior to coming to Krishna consciousness, therefore they fall into the category of pseudo-gurus, sense gratifiers, people who mislead others in the name of devotional service, which are charges that Srila Prabhupada makes against those who practice non-Vedic activities, who engage in sinful activities while being a spiritual master, while taking the role of guru. That's what the quoted two paragraphs are about. Srila Prabhupada is not talking about someone who strictly follows at present the tenets of Vaishnavism and previously may have not, previously to coming to Krishna consciousness. And clearly, not only here, but everywhere else, Srila Prabhupada states that the qualification of a guru is that yadacharati shistas, is that he teaches his followers by his example. And that his example is that he chants 60 rounds, follows regulated principles, he preaches, and strictly follows the orders of his spiritual master. And in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya. So I really wonder how my unknown friend is connecting this statement of Srila Prabhupada, which clearly refers to what he would call as bogus gurus, to devotees, gurus who strictly follow the principles of Krishna consciousness. So I would therefore suggest that this last reference, the second reference, is really irrelevant and has no substantial, or gives no substantial support for the argument that devotees who prior to Krishna consciousness were engaged in sinful activities, that they cannot engage in the service of being spiritual master, when there are so many other statements to the opposite. Aho bato swapachato gariyan yajiva givartate namatubhyam. Bhagavatam states that someone can be a swapacha and still act in the position of a guru, Prabhavishnavina Maha, if he actually surrenders to the Lord and the Lord's representatives. Now, back to the initial question here, is it not simply enough to follow Srila Prabhupada to be near and dear to him? Yes, following Srila Prabhupada means that you're near and dear, but it doesn't exclude that you have to take Diksha initiation. Since there is no statement anywhere in Shastra that one can take initiation from a personality who's departed from this world, which means that one can receive the mantra, Tasmat Guru Prapadita Jignasu Shreyutama. One should seek out a spiritual master, and Sampradaya Vihinaste Mantraste Nishpalamata, that the mantra you're chanting is not bona fide unless it's received in the sattvic succession. Receiving means someone is giving it to you. It's not something that you take. So, yes, one can be near and dear to Srila Prabhupada, but that doesn't absolve you from having to accept diksha from Srila Prabhupada's living representative, since that is the example that's found, and the only example that's found anywhere within Shastra and Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Other ideas or other examples are really a product of mental speculation. Okay, now another point here is that, and this is before I come to what I consider the most interesting part about the spiritual master being in disciplic succession from time immemorial, or from time eternal. There's insinuation that because ISKCON gurus had performed sinful activities 45 years ago, therefore they are not in the disciplic succession from time eternal. I would question that argument, not even from a practical point of view, but from a point of principle. There are examples of acharyas in our disciplic succession who, prior to quote-unquote appearing to come to Krishna consciousness, were recorded not to have followed the strict Vedic principles. And while I wouldn't suggest that all Vaishnava gurus in ISKCON fall into that category, but because it's a erroneous statement in principle, therefore its application is also equally faulty. Therefore, Shastra also states that one shouldn't judge a Vaishnava by his past activities. One should evaluate him according to how he acts at present. Okay, but the most interesting point is what Srila Prabhupada here says, that a bona fide spiritual master is in the disciplic succession from time eternal. So it's a really interesting statement, and if you read the actual context in which Prabhupada says this or writes this, it's not described in detail. It's a statement, it's a sentence that Srila Prabhupada makes, and it's not elaborated at any depth. What does it mean that the spiritual master is in disciplic succession since time eternal? Does that mean that Srila Prabhupada has appeared in the past eternally in the disciplic succession of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to preach, and that he'll continue to appear in the future? And the same may be said for Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Rupa Goswami. Not much is said about it, and not much particularly is heard about it. However, Vyasadev, who is the Adiguru, original spiritual master, whom other spiritual masters represent, is a position. It's not the same personality who appears as Vyasadeva in every age, but rather different sages take the role of Vyas, and then sometimes the Supreme Lord personally comes, as he has in this Kali Yuga. Narayan directly becomes Vyasadeva. So at least one thing can be stated about Srila Prabhupada's statement is that if the eternally liberated souls continually come to the material world in the role of the Acharya, as in the example of Vyasadeva, they don't necessarily have to appear under the same name. Another meditation which I had upon this is that being in the disciplic succession in this material world means representing the eternal principles of Krishna consciousness as they're also being enacted in the spiritual world. for eternally liberated souls who are eternally engaged in Krishna's pastimes or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pastimes in the spiritual world. They are automatically qualified to be acharyas within the Guru Parampara whenever and if they choose to or are sent to come into this material world. So in that sense, since time eternal, they are in the Guru Parampara. So I found it very enlightening to be pointed to this statement of Srila Prabhupada, and it's something that devotees can meditate on and consider at depth. Of course, it's not an exclusive statement. In other words, although Krishna's eternal associates may be in the Guru Parampara since time immemorial, that does not mean that conditioned souls or conditioned souls who become liberated are disqualified from being in the Guru Parampara. And we have many statements of Srila Prabhupada that do state that such Vaishnavas also can and must take the role of Guru. So, one important point from the questions raised here, the quotes which are being cited, and arguments that devotees tend to use, is that they should not be selective. Selective meaning that we should not select one type of argument quote it without reference to another type, rather opposing arguments. For instance, the argument that Srila Prabhupada states, and it's also found elsewhere, that one does not need to be officially initiated in order to be in the Guru Parampara. And that's one statement. On the other hand, Prabhupada makes many strong statements and quotes Shastra to state that one must be initiated in order to be authorized Vaishnava in the Guru Parampara. So when finding an answer to such questions, then the answer has to satisfy both types of answers, those which are in support and those which are in opposition to one's original thesis. So that's called thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. And we'll be able to synthesize that. So yes, a devotee is connected in the Guru Parampara by receiving instruction, but still he must be properly initiated. Just because the main emphasis of our disciplic succession is shiksha, coming through the Bhagavat Parampara, that does not mean that the Pancha Triki Diksha can be ignored. A Diksha that Narada Muni as well as Rupa Goswami emphasized, and that all of our acharyas also personally accepted by example. Okay, this is my last day here, and I'll be sending this away for devotees tomorrow, as I'll be traveling to Mayapur, and then hopefully we'll be in touch from Mayapur. I beg everyone's indulgence that it may not be always very easy for me to make podcasts in Mayapur just because of a busy GBC schedule. So if you see something that isn't contemporary but something from our backlog of talks or lectures that we've prepared, then please accept that as our humbling offering.